Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives, so please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning, America, on this National Day of Prayer. Alex McFarland here, very honored to be sitting in for Jenna Ellis this morning. And we've got a great show because, well, among other things, we are praying for America and asking the Lord to help our nation and bless our nation. But we're going to talk about education, and I've got a very special guest that I'll introduce in just a moment. But if you've kind of been aware of how the Lord has been using me over the last few years, you know, for a number of years, Bert Harper and I have been on Exploring the Word with the American Family Radio Network every day, 3 to 4 Central, 4 to 5 Eastern, and in the time zone of your choice. And I do a lot of traveling and speaking, but I've taught as well. I kind of jokingly tell people I teach to support my preaching habit. Liberty University, I've been adjunct faculty, and North Greenville University, a Christian school in South Carolina. By the way, in the 8 years that I taught worldview and apologetics for North Greenville, I was very aware of a Christian school down there in Gaffney, South Carolina, Limestone College, which very historic school and very nearly 200 years old. I was sad to hear yesterday that they're closing. In fact, Saturday, May 3rd, you know, they're going to have their commencement. And since 1845, Limestone College has existed, an overtly Christian school, and yet they're closing. And there are a number of dynamics, really. And, you know, talking about education, let me say that, you know, what we teach our young people really does not only impact their life and their soul, but really the future of our nation. I mean, it really does. I mean, what you believe informs how you behave and how you live. And from the earliest times of our nation, and this was part of our greatness, I mean, really, the first teacher were the parents. Mom and dad taught their kids. And obviously, the most primary and important thing to impart to anyone, especially to our children, is a knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Christianity and living morally for God. And so education for a number of years, we all know this, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but education has been going just militantly secular. And more and more colleges nowadays just, they don't really teach what we would call a liberal arts education. And I'm not talking about political liberalism. I'm talking about learning from a wide variety of sources. And any idea is on the table as long as we can examine it and prove it true. You know, there's been the phrase illiberal education because in many a woke university, the conservative viewpoint is not even allowed to be discussed. I mean, in so many universities like Harvard, and I took a doctoral course at Harvard many years ago, but it's just you can't give the traditional natural law moral absolute viewpoint. And so a lot of declining enrollment, which has brought a financial crisis to many a college, is due to because consumers know, and the parent shopping for a college and the young person looking for a place to invest 4 years of their life, they're smart enough to know that they don't just need woke programming. They want to learn how to think. So on a lot of levels, there is a kind of, in some circles, a crisis regarding education in America. And so to give us some insights on this, Robert Bortons, he's president of the Moore County Republican Men's Club, which is the largest GOP men's club in North Carolina, but he is also the leader of Classical Conversations. Now listen to this, serving 45,000 homeschooling families. And we're going to talk about education with Robert Bortons. I want to say thank you for being with us this morning, sir. And more importantly, thank you for what you're doing to raise the intellectual component of our country. Welcome, Mr. Bortons.
Alex, I'm just glad to be here today. And, you know, on this day of prayer, our country needs it more than ever. And glad to have a president in the White House that honors and respects it.
Exactly, myself included. You know, I'm glad you bring that up. And by the way, folks, last week on AFR, I interviewed Kathy Branzell. She's the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. And on their website for National Day of Prayer, you can just put in your zip code and you can find one of 19,000 prayer gatherings across America today. And in fact, if you happen to be near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I'll be speaking tonight at, I want to make sure I get the place right, it's Myrtle, I'll find it out, but it's near City Hall, there's a prayer gathering, and I'll be there at 5:15 p.m. to speak this evening and lead in prayer, and we're doing a lot of conferences in Myrtle Beach, which is just a little bit south of Wilmington, Cherry Grove, Little River, Charleston, we're all in this big area. And Sunday night, we've got Dinesh D'Souza speaking as part of our series called Conversations That Matter. It's called Myrtle's Market. It's in downtown Myrtle Beach. But Robert, are you involved in a National Day of Prayer gathering there in North Carolina today?
I'm actually driving up to D.C. today after I get off this radio interview to attend an event up there.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. You know, I want to tell you, let me cue this up, and then I want you to tell everybody what Classical Conversations is. And I've told this story a time or two, but I was in Colorado to be a judge at a debate. Homeschool families of Colorado were having a big debate, Lincoln Douglas style debates, and I was asked to be a judge. Well, a few days prior to that, I was in California, in Modesto, California, to do a high school assembly in a public high school. I had been invited to give one of my talks on the Constitution. And so I'm in California at a public high school. We're in a gymnasium, and there's, I don't know, 700 or 800 students. Well, a fight breaks out, and the place just goes like into a riot. And the administration, they just couldn't bring the room to order. And they were trying, and eventually the police came, and I never got to give my assembly talk. So I fly to Colorado, and I go to this homeschool debate. And there are easily, you know, 800, 900 young people there and parents. Well, a young person comes up to me and says, "Mr. McFarland, we listen to you on the radio, and you often talk about Thomas Aquinas." Now, I'm going to say this child was 12, maybe. And he said, "I'm translating Aquinas from Latin to English." And I said, "Wow, that is wonderful." And my hand of the Lord, this is true. I thought about the dichotomy. I'm in a public high school in California, and there's such violence and fighting that learning just can't even take place. And then I go to this homeschool debate and I meet like a middle school age child who's already knows some Latin, already familiar with Thomas Aquinas, learning worldview, just the two universes different. But that being said, talk about how classical education, homeschooling, God and truth being taught is really a great hope for the future of our nation.
Yeah, Alex, and that student is representative of many homeschooling families and you know, he's probably getting, sounds like he's getting a classical education, and the parents are doing a wonderful job. And yeah, I think homeschooling, and I'm a big proponent of the three spheres of influence. I believe the Bible is very clear. There's a family government, a church government, and a civil government. And, yes. You know, in Deuteronomy and Proverbs and all throughout the Bible, it's very clear that parents are responsible for their child's education. And so, you know, we think the world works best when we're doing what God calls us to do. And so homeschool parents are doing an amazing job at Classical Conversations. We read the Federalist Papers. We translate the Iliad from Latin. Our students, as young as kindergarten, are memorizing the presidents and learning the math times tables through 15. We're going back and reading original source documents, and classical education works extremely well, and why the homeschool movement was the kind of first educational group to move towards classical education, because parents recognize that it works with brain development. And so classical education, for those who might not be familiar, is based on the trivium, which is basically three ways you learn anything. So the first stage is the grammar stage, and that's why we used to have grammar schools in the United States, and that's when kids are, you know, 4 or 5 years old up to, you know, 10, 11, 12, and they love memorizing, and their brain is just built to absorb so many things. And so we just give them a lot of great information to learn, and they might not know what any of it means, but their brain is able to absorb it, and they memorize things like the periodic table, and you know, they don't know what any of that means, but they're getting it in their little minds. And then the next stage of classical education is what we call the logic stage or the dialectic stage, and that's when the brain starts developing these neuropathways, and these ideas start connecting, and they start recognizing how things are working together, and that's kind of in that 10 to 14-year-old range. And the final stage of a classical education is the rhetorical stage, and that's going to, you know, start when they're about 14 to 18, and that's when they are starting to defend their ideas, read original source documents, you know, read novels, do all sorts of debate, mock trial, protocol, and we end up with a senior thesis. It's usually 20 to 40 pages that they have to defend in front of four judges, and that's kind of the capstone event of their classical education. And all of it at Classical Conversations points back to God. Our mission is to know God and to make him known. Jesus said he was the truth, capital T. And if your children are an institution that doesn't believe Jesus is the truth, you're just wasting their time. And so it's not really surprising when you see those fights break out in a public school, because they have the mentality that children are just a little bit better than apes, that have, you know, just barely evolved slightly above that, and that's how they treat them, versus we believe that our children are brothers and sisters adopted into the kingdom of heaven. Right now we're a little bit lower than angels, and so we aspire for things that are opposite to the mainstream education system.
What do you say to the number one objection I hear about homeschooling is lack of peer interaction and, you know, the lack of socialization? Although, you know, I just was at Wisconsin a month ago, the CHU conference, and that's the Council on Homeschool Education of Wisconsin. And I was there last year, I was there this year, and there's like 4,500 people there. It's a great conference. And I was speaking to the youth, Robert, and I don't know, there were, I'm going to guess, 1,000 teenagers in my apologetics classes. And they certainly seemed dynamic, brilliant, joyful Christian young people. They didn't seem unsocialized. But that's the number one thing. I mean, you can't argue with the results, but whenever I have somebody take me to task over my support for homeschooling, that the problem they point out is what they say is lack of peer interaction. How do you respond to that? And we, listen, we may have to do this after the break. I hear the music. Robert, give your website, if you would, and we'll continue talking about educating our young people after this brief break. But Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations, what is your website, sir?
ClassicalConversations.com.
Spelled just like it sounds?
Check it out.
Yes, Classical Conversations. Can you stay with us, sir?
Yes, I can.
All right. On this National Day of Prayer, listeners, may God bless you. Please intercede for our nation. We'll be back on The Jenna Ellis Show. Alex McFarland here with more after this brief break. Don't go away.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, many years ago, I went to hear William J. Bennett speak. Bill Bennett, you know, he was Secretary of Education at one time. And he wrote the Book of Virtues. And I'll never forget, we were in the Greensboro Coliseum in front of probably 10,000 people because it was a big conference and there were a lot of great speakers. But William J. Bennett asked the audience, he said, "What is the purpose of education?" And different answers were given. And he said, and he began his talk this way. He said, "Let's define education's purpose as this: to expand your mind and save your soul. Because if we pursue truth," one of my real intellectual heroes, Mortimer Adler, who was at one time editor of the Encyclopedia Britannica, and he became a Christian late in life. In fact, my worldview mentor, Norman Geisler, knew Mortimer Adler. And Adler said this about education. He said, "The search for truth, if you follow the search wherever it goes and you don't abandon the journey, you will wind up at Calvary." Well, with that said, Alex McFarland here. So honored to be talking with Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations. And welcome back, sir. You know, in the previous segment, you were talking about how secular education regards children very often. I mean, I don't know that they would say it this way, but I do agree with you. Secular education that rules out God and believes in a physicalist, materialist, secular worldview, Darwinian evolution, yeah, they do believe that children are just maybe a smidgen higher than apes. And in fact, listen to this, folks. When I was working on one of my master's thesis, I found a study from, well, I'm not going to say the name of the university because it's allegedly a Christian university, but and I don't want to really open up a can of worms slamming an institution that's trying to right itself. But someone had done a master's paper in a psychology degree on, quote, the inner monkey. That toddlers are rambunctious and children can be, you know, messy and energetic because there is an inner monkey in all of us. It was ludicrous. Anyway, that being said, we're not apes, we're not gibbons, we're not monkeys, we're humans made in the image of God and made to know God. So Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for what you're doing to promote education that is the pursuit of truth. We're glad to have you, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here talking about homeschooling and classical education and of course, doing all that through a biblical worldview.
Amen. Amen. So before the break, I was kind of queuing up this question. The number one objection that I hear, because you can't really argue with the results, I mean, homeschooled children are doing better than many of their publicly schooled peers in learning. But how do you respond to the objection about alleged lack of socialization?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question and one I answered multiple times. And I was on the Sean Ryan show a few weeks ago and answered it there. And there's really, I like to answer it three ways. One, giving a brief history, two, personal examples, and three, with some statistics. So When homeschooling wasn't legal in every state until 1993, so like when I was beginning to be homeschooled in the 80s, we had to hide because we didn't want Child Protective Services to come in. Homeschool parents were being dragged into court, having their children threatened to be taken away from them. And so part of the reason of this, you know, we weren't social, you know, quote unquote, was because if we were too social and seen outside the house before 3 p.m., our parents might get arrested or fined. Obviously, we've gone past that now. But, you know, for my own kids, I have three kids under 10. My daughter, Lily, she's a gymnast. So she's in gymnastics 12 hours a week. She's one of the top 10 gymnasts in the state in her age. So she's with, you know, friends from private school, homeschool, public school. Obviously, we're really involved in our church. My middle son, who's 8, he's in a Lego league and builds Lego robotics with a bunch of other kids. He's in baseball. And then my youngest, Jonah, you know, he's 5, so he just loves being around his siblings and around each other. The people around church and those and in our homeschool community. That's one of the things about Classical Conversations is we actually get together in groups once a week during the academic year and go over our academics together with a trained parent tutor. Kids, we have too much socialization opportunities. And the socialization in, you know, government schools or even private schools is artificial. Like, when are you ever in a room with 30 people your exact same age as an adult? I mean, never, right? I mean, this is right. A phenomenon that's only K through 12 in very specific situations. And you behave like your mentors. And so since one school teacher has no way in God's green earth to mentor 30 different students in 6 different periods every single day, they mentor each other, and that's why you get gangs and cliques, and you see these social emotional learning issues among students because the system is not designed for them; it's designed for the teachers and the administrators. And finally, the government studied this, and according to NHERE, National Home Education Research Institute, 87% of peer-reviewed studies on social, emotional, and psychological development show homeschool students perform statistically significantly better than those in conventional schools. And so their homeschoolers are involved in activities such as field trips, scouting, 4-H, political drive, church ministry, sports team, and community volunteer work. I mean, most Olympic athletes you see now are homeschooled, so usually it's just a question out of ignorance. They think homeschooling is like you're just stuck at home with the parents all day and you're not going out and doing things. A typical homeschooler is going to spend 2 to 3 hours a day on academics, and then they're going to go grocery shopping with their parents or go make jewelry with their mom and go sell it at a craft fair or, you know, go take part of some community service that's going on. So homeschoolers are very rarely at home, despite what the naming convention is. So, there's lots of social activities. And like for myself, when I was 16 years old, I thought I wanted to be a computer engineer. So I went and got a job at a local computer engineering company. And I was with mentors that, you know, had master's degrees and PhD degrees and was working with them full-time in the summer and one day a week during the academic year and squeezing my work, academic work into 4 days a week so I could go, spend almost 2 years working for an engineering firm before I even went to college. And so, I like to put it this way, I don't want my kids to be socialist. I want them to be civilized.
And exactly.
We're asking the wrong question when we ask about socialism.
Hey, I've got a question I want to queue up. And by the way, folks, Alex McFarland here, very honored to be sitting in for Jenna Ellis on AFR this morning and our guest, Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations. Okay, here is one study as recently as 2024. Home-educated students typically score at least 15 to 25% points higher than their public school student peers on standardized academic achievement test. The public school average is roughly the 50th percentile, and students that are homeschooled. And again, this was verified in 2010, 2015, 2017, and 2024. Homeschool students score 15 to 25% higher. Now, listen to this. 78% of peer-reviewed studies on academic achievement show homeschool students perform statistically significantly higher than those from public schools. And then, this is huge. And this is the National Home Education Research Institute. Whether homeschool parents were ever certified teachers is not relative to the children's academic achievement. Because I've had parents say, you know, I don't like what goes on in the woke public schools, but I'm not qualified to teach. And studies show that that really doesn't have a bearing on the outcome of the children's academic achievement. But here's the question, Robert Bortons, that I would love to know, and I think I would know this, but what percentage of homeschool students raised in a Christian environment stay with Christianity into adulthood versus those from public school? And I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and then we've for 25 years been doing youth events. And so many students, it used to be they would go away to college and then have a faith crisis. Nowadays, man, I'm meeting families and they've got 10th and 11th graders that already claim to be an atheist that are in public school. Do you know anything about the statistics, Robert, of homeschooled Christian families that the kids don't fall away from the Christian faith? I would imagine it would be much statistically higher that homeschooled children from Christian families stay with Christianity and don't fall away like their public school counterparts very often do.
Yeah, so Barna research shows that somewhere between 70 and 75% of kids who are raised in the church walk away from the faith within 2 years of graduating high school. And so when we say send them to a Christian church for an hour on Sundays and send them to the pagan church, which is public school, for 40 hours the rest of the week, it's not surprising they come out as pagans after all of that. So I can speak for at Classical Conversations. We've done studies on our own students, and it's about 92% stay engaged with the church based on the same questions that Barna asks on their survey. And so it's almost it's the exact opposite. I haven't seen anything specific on homeschoolers in general, but I would suspect it's probably in the high 80 percentile, low 90 percentile rate, because the parents are raising the children in the way they should go, instead of sending them to Horace Mann's nightmare public school system, which is raising them in the way they want them to go. And so it's just a statistical. If you're hanging out with a pastor for an hour a week in a purple-haired LGBT person 40 hours a week, which one are you going to believe more? And when the parents aren't engaged and they're undermining the parental authority, and as I mentioned earlier, God gave the civil government authority over the child's mind, but mm-hmm. most Christian parents give it 100% of the authority over the child's mind, and shouldn't be surprising to anyone who's read through the Bible through the lens of looking at what it says about education, that having the government pay for and then run institutions is going to be a massive failure for Christians, but a massive success for the founders of the public school system and what they had in mind for our country.
You mentioned Horace Mann, who was so huge in the creation of public education in America. He and John Dewey, they were overt secularists, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And our education system, our public school system in the United States, was modeled after Prussia. And most people don't know what Prussia is because our public school system is garbage, which is intentional. Mm-hmm. Prussia is Germany, was the name of the country of Germany that we know now, pre-World War One. And the same public education system was in Russia pre-World War One. So the same education system from these communist, socialist regimes was imported into the United States. So it shouldn't be surprising to us. I mean, it took a few hundred years of this public school experiment, but now the majority of Gen Z look at socialism as a net positive. And so that was, the long march through the institutions was intentional, and Horace Mann and John Dewey knew they couldn't introduce their radical ideas during their generation because, 70, a significant portion, a majority of Americans had a biblical worldview at that point. Now only 9% do, and they saw, just like, Satan's attacked children since the beginning. We've seen that, you see that throughout the Bible, how he attacks children. They knew that they had to separate the bonds between children and the family and create a bond between children and the civil government. And so that was their plan, and they've been executed wildly beyond their wildest dreams. I tell people the public school isn't failing. The public school is wildly successful. You just don't know what the public school was designed to do.
Yeah.
So educate.
A lot of us that love God and country, and I mean, number one, obviously, I care about the Bible and the Christian gospel being imparted into the lives of people, but also I care about America. And listen, I talk to lots of young people and college-age students, and after 12 years of secular, K through 12 education, and then getting into a university, just on the subject of Israel, Robert, my goodness, after the terrorist attacks of October 2023, I was at a Stand for Israel rally, and so many college students were coming there to just speak horribly anti-Semitic things and for the terrorists. Really, it's little wonder after all of this that kids, even from Christian homes, become militantly secular. Hey, we've got to take a break. I want to take some calls too. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you've got a question about education and really the future of our country and what homeschooling can do to be a positive force, we're talking with Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations on this edition of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Alex McFarland saying stay tuned. Thanks for listening on this National Day of Prayer. We'll be back with your calls and questions after this.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Jenna Ellis, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Alex McFarland here. And by the way, I'll give my own website, alexmcfarland.com. And if you would, check out this. We're doing a summer speaker series called Conversations That Matter. We've got Dinesh D'Souza this Sunday evening, May 4th in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's going to be phenomenal. He's just a brilliant analyst and speaker. AlexMcFarland.com/conversations. Next month in June, we'll be having Gary Chapman, the author of The Five Love Languages, then Charlie Kirk, and a lot of great speakers. Also, if you would please pray, for 25 years, we've done summer camps, biblical worldview, and apologetics. We'll have 1,200 kids in 7 summer camps, places like upstate New Jersey and the Hudson River Valley, Montana, South Carolina. And the website for our summer youth camps is equipretreat.org, equipretreat.org. And also, we're doing a camp in Virginia, and I've not done a camp in Virginia in many, many years, but there's a camp run by the Virginia Baptist called Camp Piankatank. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But it's beautiful, and it's just about 1 hour outside of Richmond, so very convenient. And we're trying to populate that camp. And every summer, folks, in addition to doing all the fun camp stuff, the zip lines, the hikes, we teach the gospel and how to defend the Christian faith. We have hundreds of kids who make a profession of faith and give their life to Christ. But then kids come back 2 and 3 years consecutively because they want to learn apologetics and biblical worldview. And many of them go back home and they start a viral truth club, apologetics clubs. And anyway, please pray for our summer youth camps, and we would be grateful for your prayers and support. Equipretreat.org. Well, we're talking with Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations, and we're going to go to some calls. Let's start out with Iowa. Matt in Iowa. And by the way, I'll be in Iowa to speak at the Cedar Falls Bible Conference this summer. But Matt, are you there?
I am.
Good morning, and thanks for calling in to our conversation with Robert Bortons.
Well, I love to talk about education. I've been doing it for 40-plus years when God saved me. I'm now 67. I've been telling people forever and a day that reading, writing, math is education. If you can do those things, you can teach another person the same things without putting them in government-controlled education. I've been fighting for choice since 1982, and if we had it, we'd have a better educated society and a more moral one. I've been a Christian long enough. Morality doesn't save. Jesus does. But we don't have to go to the depths of depravity to need see our need for the Savior. And I want to thank you for taking this subject on. Pound, pound, pound it. And we need to get government completely out of education, completely out of education. It doesn't take money to teach a person how to read, write, and do math. Mm. 90%+ of us have the ability to learn, but I know a lot of them don't. And I thank you for this call.
God bless you. God bless you, Matt. Thank you. Robert, that's the great sentiments, aren't they?
Yeah, and Matt's completely right. God created the mind free, and you know, you don't have a degree in teaching your children how to walk. You don't have a degree in teaching your children how to talk, and those are two of the toughest things you can teach anyone, and parents manage to do that all the time. And so I always say parents have the Wizard of Oz syndrome, and what I mean by that is they've already got everything that they need. God gave them the children, and he's going to give them the ability to give them a great education. And you know, the Wizard of Oz, you know, the heart needed, the lion needed bravery, and the Tin Man needed a heart, and the Scarecrow needed a brain. And, you know, they just had some institution give them a certificate and said that they already had it. Well, we don't need the institution that's given us our certificate as parents is God when he gave us those children.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I had a listener just text in, and I want to say this. I realize there are many, many Christians that are in public education. Robert, my mother was a public school teacher for 28 years. My sister was a high school science teacher in a public school. But here's the thing. I think what the caller said was true. You know, for the Christians that are in public education, valiantly investing themselves in the lives of young people, God bless you. But the caller used this phrase that's very key, government-controlled education. Even though I know there are a lot of Christians in public education, but ultimately the big machine is government-controlled education. And, you know, earlier we mentioned Horace Mann and then John Dewey, and these people were, my goodness, not only did they really not like a constitutional Judeo-Christian America, these people hated Christianity. And I've done a fair amount of study on the backstory of the people that built the modern public educational machine. And I'm not saying there aren't some Christians in public schooling, but the big machine, just look at the outcome of what it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. My wife was a public school teacher for 10 years. She taught in a school where over 50% of the kids were on free lunch. So, my hat's off to the teachers in the public schools that are doing the best they can, but they're in a system that's not designed for children. It's not designed for education. I mean, Jesus had 12 disciples. My wife saw over 200 kids per day, and he walked with them closely, and even one of them fell away. And so, best management practices, I run a business with 170 employees, is one manager to 7 to 10 employees. And those people are educated and paid to be there, and you still need a 1 to 10 ratio. And sure. That's the ratio God gave us in the Old Testament for the judges, right? One judge for every 10 people and so on. So when you see 200 to 300 kids a day, I mean, I think there was a documentary called Waiting on Superman a while ago that exposed it. So, we need Christian teachers to not, we don't need Christian adults to abandon the public schools, but we need to get our Christian kids out of it because, if you cause a kid to stumble, it's better to have a weight around your neck and you're thrown into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And when you see the statistics of, 70% or more of children in public school who are, quote unquote, in Christian churches walking away, I'm going to answer for a lot of things when I go to the Bema seat that I don't want other people to answer for, but that's one thing I'm going to be happily not having to answer about.
We're going to go to Texas. Sean in Texas. Sean, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Jenna Ellis program.
Thank you, guys. This is a great conversation. My question is, I'm familiar with classical conversations. My nephew's in it. It seems like an extremely difficult program to jump in the middle. And I've got a fifth grader with a learning disability. We're probably taking her out of school next year to homeschool. And I was wondering, if you had an idea of maybe a better program for someone who's challenged and hasn't, got the basics built in, that it sounds like the classical conversations has when they were younger, that she could partake in and do well in. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different web groups that talk about different programs for learning challenged students. I'll just say that we've got a lot of learning challenged students inside of classical conversations and groups that help you scale up and down. And our kindergarten through sixth grade program is the exact same. All those students are learning the exact same thing each year, just at different levels. And so if she's in the fifth grade, she'd be jumping in just where all three of my kids are right now and learning along those same things. And, we hear from parents that have, learning difficulties with their children. My doctor said they would never do X, and now they've gone well beyond X and are doing X, Y, and Z. So the classical model of learning and works with how the brain works, and especially when you have learning difficulties, that can help your child excel in ways that no one would expect. And I just challenge people as well, is don't go on the government's predetermined timeline on what your child is going to learn. I was talking to a homeschool mom whose child didn't read until she was 14 years old. And she had like six kids, homeschooled them all. And, most of them were reading when they're like 5 or 6 years old, those accelerating homeschool students. But this one wasn't reading until 14. That 14-year-old now has a PhD in reading science and is one of the leading scientists the top scientists in the world on teaching children with learning disabilities how to read well. And why is that? Because she had those issues, but once she was able to break through with them, she knows how because she experienced it. So don't let the world's labels dictate what God has for your child. So that, I would just say classical conversations could be a good fit for you. It might not be, but there's plenty of sources, you know, whatever learning challenges your child has out there, and there's a lot of resources available for you. So I'm not familiar with all of them, but that's what I would encourage you.
Oh, very good. Thank you. And yeah, you know, I mean, the timetables of the world might have some, you know, generalized, common, you know, pacing, but we all know from our own journeys, I mean, the Lord can take you wherever you are, as you are. And so don't think that it's too late. You know, and I want to say to all the grown-ups, you know, when I was president of Southern Evangelical Seminary in Charlotte and the Veritas College, we had a man at 74 earned his doctoral degree and entered the ministry. We participated in the ordination of a 74-year-old man. And so, you know, Robert, I'm really big on the stewardship of one's life. And folks, we, you know, we're talking about educating children, but maybe even at whatever stage of life you're in, be a lifelong learner and understand that the stewardship of the mind and our service to the Lord, it's what we're called to do. And you can get on the bus and feed your soul, learn and stock your mind, and serve the Lord at any age. I want to go to, let's see, we'll try to get one more call in. Jerry in Texas. Jerry, welcome to our conversation with Robert Bortons of Classical Conversations.
Thank you, brother. It's good talking to you, Robert. It's a pleasure. If you'll just give me a minute, we used to keep one of our children in Classical Conversations. We started in Foundations. He started in Essentials. He loved it. We loved it. Unfortunately for us, his dyslexia is so high grade, and we found a specialty school that does help with that development a little bit better. I would encourage the last caller to still look into it, because I was hesitant when we first started Classical Conversations, but we had a wonderful director in our group. And then that director encouraged me to be a tutor. So I tutored, and now I'm trying to get hired on at our other children's Christian school and educate Christian children after reading George Barna and all these others. But I will say that for definitions, we need to start using more accurate terms. And everybody that I encounter when I talk about what most people call public schools, I try to help them understand, as one of the other callers said, they're not public schools. You cannot go that you pay for in your taxes and walk into that school and walk around it. It is a government-ran institution, and the more people that call them government schools, it may wake up other Christians to realize that the state is teaching them the state propaganda. And I'm sorry if I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I've been in both. I was educated in government schools, and I can tell you that the classical conversation, the classical model, after reading this gentleman's method of teaching, after reading the Pete Hegseth's book, 18, you know, Fight for Americans, Battle Minds, this is a better educational system. And I'm going to let you go. I just encourage people to get their children out of government schools, be more involved in their children's education. Don't let the government raise them. I'm going to let you go. Bless y'all. We love you, Alex McFarland. We love Classical Conversations. We tell everybody about it, even though we're not in it anymore. Have a blessed day.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for those kind sentiments. Almost out of time, Robert, but your response and some final thoughts.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson said, religion, or the duty which we owe our Creator, which is part of that duty, of course, is educating our kids, and the manner of discharge can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence. And of course, taxation is violence, and if you don't send your kids to school, they throw you in jail. And so it's no surprise when our civil government school system violates multiple laws that God established here on earth that they're failing. And so it's a 200-year-old experiment. It has failed our kids. You know, over 50% believe in socialism. Less than 40%, about 34% can read at grade level. 40% are sexually harassed at school. Ronald Reagan said if a foreign entity had put this public school on our country, we would have declared it an act of war. It is a war.
Hey, forgive me, Robert.
It's a war on our. Yep.
We're almost out of time. Your website. Yep. One more time, please.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Get your kids out of school. ClassicalConversations.com. I got a website, RobertBortons.com, and I'd love for you to follow me on X, The Robert B. Show.
God bless you, folks. Participate in the National Day of Prayer today. May God bless you. May God bless America. Stay bold. Stand strong for truth.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.